Chapter 1. The Announcement. A-Day. The Chief Medical Officer, CMO, Professor Kieran Graves, sat at his desk. He was at the peak of respectability of his profession. His experience and research in his chosen field had not won him a Nobel Prize, but his reputation was well established across the medical sphere. His early surgical career had switched from oncology surgery to genetics and biochemistry, and then he spent several years directly in cancer research. He then moved into the politics of science, the research grants, government committees, and the climbing of that particular career slope. Now, he was the United Kingdom's government's principal medical advisor. He was the professional leader on medical matters for public health in the United Kingdom. He was the UK's representative within the World Health Organization, the WHO. He frequently contributed to media discussions on health. He was renowned for his terse questioning style, whereas his highly detailed reports quickly summed up years of painstaking research and clinical trials in straightforward recommendations and resultant potential cures. He was respected throughout the scientific community, not just in medicine. Kieran Graves had been in post for only 8 months. He had been a popular choice for the role, eliciting cross-party support, backed, unusually, by both the medical and mainstream media. He was a friend of the previous Secretary of State for Health, who was now, since the last election, on the opposition benches. He was developing a friendly relationship with the new Secretary of State at the Department of Health, Caroline McCoy. He was also more than a passing acquaintance of the Prime Minister, his wife and two children, having spent two enjoyable weekends at Chequers. As he contemplated the report in front of him, all that history, all his career achievements, all that respect, counted for nothing. The CMO's heart rate was high. He could feel perspiration building. He breathed deeply to try to control his emotions as he read the executive summary of the report in front of him. He inadvertently stroked his head, smoothing the almost non-existent hair that his wife had finally persuaded him to cut short, disguising his spreading bald patch. He wanted to smoke, even though he had given up 10 years previously. He was 52, trim and fit. He was scared witless by what he was reading. His main assistant, Howard Bellman, was a civil service appointee. He stood to one side of the desk. Bellman was not a medical man. He would not understand the technical details of the report, but he would understand the conclusion. Graves handed the report to him without a word. There was silence in the room, except for the background hub of the London traffic and the click of the air conditioning system. It appeared to be on the blink again. Whilst the CMO's assistant started to read, Graves looked at the two professors sitting opposite. They had requested the urgent meeting. His assistant mumbled, "What?" He then sat down heavily on the side of the desk, looking in disbelief at the CMO. Professor Richard Hargreaves and Professor Diane Selkirk were key scientists working for Cancer Research, the charity, in between their academic careers at Oxford and Cambridge respectively. Both in their late 40s, they were genetic specialists, studying cell replication. They were hoping to expand on the advancements of genetic therapy to treat and potentially cure cancer, or at least some of the many variations that were commonly called cancers. Their joint report, which Howard Bellman had now placed back on the desk in front of the CMO, was the result of 5 months of work. The report was not what had been expected. The report scared them. "Take me through it," the CMO requested, "just the highlights." Professor Hargreaves replied after swallowing a sip of water. "We had a study group of 15 spread across 4 locations. The group was receiving standard treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma. They were trial patients for a new version of hematopoietic stem cell transplantation. Several of the group were in the early age group. The ages were in the table at the start of the report, and the remaining 8 were over 55. "Were?" Bellman asked. "Yes, were," explained Professor Selkirk. "Look, all these patients were seriously ill. That's why many of them volunteered in the first place. Standard treatments were not working, including an earlier attempt at cell therapy.